We have Senator Jim Risch joining us from the nation's capital this morning. And, Senator, we always appreciate you carving some time out for us. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well and glad to be here. I will try to fill Julie's shoes for you, but that's a big ask.
Yeah, it is a tough task, and none of us men are up to that task, but I appreciate you trying. So, Senator, let's dive in right. Well, we've got a domestic issue and we've got a foreign issue. The SAVE Act here domestically, the president really wants this, and the country wants this implemented as well, at least the core idea of this. And tell us how it's going right now. I'm seeing a lot of kind of pessimistic headlines that this thing is actually going to pass, but I'd love your particular take.
Well, I guess, first of all, I'm committed to do whatever it takes to pass this bill. I mean, it is so common sense, like you say, at its core. All it does is require that only U.S. citizens vote in U.S. elections, and that when you show up, you got ID to prove who you are to vote. I mean, what could be more simple than that? The polling is incredibly high on this, not only amongst Republicans, but also amongst Democrats. Democrats, however, are locked against the bill. They will all vote against it. And then there's a handful of Republicans because of their arguments. And I'm not on their side on this, but they argue that their state operates in a certain way as far as elections are concerned, and believe that the states ought to have control of that, which is a good principle by and large. But here, look, we don't have a problem in Idaho. Our elections are rock solid. We know who supervises them, who puts them on, how they're audited, and we've never had a problem ever. And so for Idaho, it's not an issue. But you get places like Chicago or California or Georgia where fraud is rampant. And we, even though we live in Idaho, we don't have a problem. We have the right to insist that elections in other parts of the country are legitimate. So, look, I'm all in to do whatever it takes to pass this, but we just don't have all the votes that's necessary. The president is pressuring those, and he's been a little successful. You know, there's been some changes in recent days. So we're going to do what we can to pass it, but there's a lot of misinformation on it, too. They keep talking about using the filibuster to pass it. People don't understand the filibuster is not a procedure to pass something. It's a procedure to kill something, and it's a very simple procedure. You just talk and talk and talk like Mr. Smith goes to Washington until you can't anymore. But at the end of the day, you can't stop something from passing. They had the folks go through the archives in the Senate. They've never found a situation where the filibuster has passed the bill. And of course it can't, because it's a procedure to stop it.
Yeah.
But they've never even found an instance where somebody was able to kill a bill using the filibuster, except in the case of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington movies. So turns out it works really well in the movies, but not so well in real life.
So basically, what you're saying is the threat of the filibuster is what is the functional thing here. Is that right?
Not really. There can be a threat of a filibuster, but look, if you want to talk, you can stand up and talk. In recent years, I've seen it used, I think, three times by Democrats who talked for 24 hours wanting to break the record that the previous one had set, primarily to get attention because they wanted to run for president. And nobody knew who they were. And so they stood up on the floor and they got a lot of media out of it, and people showed up and applauded when their time was over. It accomplished nothing. I mean, it was just an exercise.
Senator, you just said Cory Booker without saying Cory Booker.
Yeah, well, he was one of them. I mean, Cory Booker was one of them, but there were others too.
Yeah.
If you want to run for president, you get out there and just like you say, Cory Booker. probably before he did that, you'd never heard of Cory Booker before, but because he went out and talked for 24 hours plus, then people know who he is. So, but again, not only has it never worked to pass or kill a bill, it's never worked to get somebody elected president either. So,
yeah, well, it's put, you know, the president kind of on opposite sides as John Thune. They're both Republicans. They both would like to see the SAVE Act pass, but the difference comes in the pathway and the ability for the votes to be there. And President Trump just yesterday said, well, Senator Thune needs to be more of a leader. He needs to step up and find a way to get the votes so that we can move forward with a standing filibuster. And I know you want to see it passed. You said we need to do anything or whatever we need to do to get it passed. And so I'm assuming you're for the standing filibuster if it gets us there. But what would you say about this sort of this daylight, little bit of daylight between the president and the majority leader?
Well, I think where the president's coming from is he looks at John Thune as the majority leader. And as the majority leader, you're expected to deliver the votes for your party. But there are occasions when it can't be done. Let me give you an example, okay? If they came to me, my party came to me and said, well, look, we got enough votes where we're going to be able to sell off public lands. So we need one more vote and you're going to be it. I say, guys, you can put me on a barbecue spit and turn it. I am not voting to sell off public lands. I don't care what the party says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm just not going to vote that way. And you have strong feelings on this the same way. You can't force people to vote for something. But that's just the way it is. And I think the president's frustrated that John Thune can't. Persuade people to vote for it. The most persuasive person in town, obviously, is the president of the United States, and he has pursued it, and he has changed some votes, as you know. In fact, just quite recently. But you got to have enough votes to pass something. It's that simple.
So one last question, Senator, and I'm just kind of watching this back and forth going on. When Senator Thune says we don't have the votes, I'm assuming they're counting the votes in conversations behind closed doors. But if pushed to be public about it, where the SAVE Act, just the core idea of the SAVE Act, is so popular among every broad demographic in America, aren't they more likely to switch their vote, which, you know, it's not public anymore? They have to be accountable to their voters. They've got to be. So what's said behind closed doors may be very different than what gets debated on the floor of the Senate.
True to an extent, but I think we're going to vote on it. I think Thune's going to put it up for a vote. I mean, what he wants to do is continue to put the pressure on until he's got enough votes to pass it. He's obviously convinced that he doesn't have the votes to pass it, or we'd run it right now and pass it. So
yeah.
I'm sure that he continues to work it, and I know he and the president talk regularly on who needs to be talked to and that sort of thing. But there may be some pressure like that, but I think everybody knows where everybody is. I mean, I don't think it's a secret. The people who are voting on it, the Republicans, hate being in this squeeze, but feel they have to because of what their constituency at home feels like. But they're not. I don't think they're embarrassed about their position. They don't want to be in it, but I don't think they're embarrassed about it. So it's a process, and it isn't that Thune won't put it up for a vote. I'm sure he will eventually. Even if it fails, I think he'll put it up for a vote because, like you say, everybody's pressuring, saying, why won't he put it up for a vote? He can, and he will, I'm convinced, eventually.
All right, let's shift to Iran. Of course, about a week and a half ago, the strike, the operation, Epic Fury began in Iran, and so much has happened, Senator, since we spoke last and since that operation began. And the latest development that I'm seeing this morning is that at least the current Khomeini, Ayatollah running Iran, says the Strait of Hormuz is going to remain closed. And I'd love your overview on what's happening in that region right now.
Well, you know, we commenced this operation, like you say, about a week and a half ago, and we're the United States of America. We have destroyed Iran, and do not believe what you're reading in the online or in the media. Their navy is sunk. It's gone. Their air force is destroyed. It's gone. The country is on its back. We have complete ability to fly anywhere we want in that country. They could, if they wanted to, turn off the lights. They could destroy all of their electric generating facilities and that sort of thing. These people, the regime that is running the country, are stubborn. They have this radical religious view and are willing to die for it. And that's what happens when you're operating on a radical religious view like that. And the Iranian people, if they had the ability to take over that country, they would in a minute. And I believe that country would be a democracy, and it would be a robust democracy and a Western-leaning democracy. They were 47 years ago. Until the radical religious leaders took over the country, and since then you've got this terrorist organization essentially running the country. So there are two issues that need. Everybody says, when's this going to be over? Well, it's going to be over when Donald Trump says it's over, because he's in full control of this. But there are two issues that you need to focus on right now. Number one is the Straits of Hormuz, because it is the last weapon that Iran has. It's kind of like a nuclear weapon. I mean, they're using it now because that's all they have. But it is a powerful weapon in that it bumps up the price of gas in America, which turns Americans against whatever's causing that. We got to remember that the price of gas right now is significantly less than when Joe Biden was in office. We really focused on ratcheting that down immediately when Donald Trump took office. We were very successful at it, and we'll be again. This is a temporary thing. People don't like to hear that. It's not temporary when you're putting your credit card in the gas pump. You know, it's right there right now. But that is an issue. The Straits of Hormuz. They're focused on it, and they'll straighten that out. The second one is the ability of the Iranian people to take over the country. I wish I could be more optimistic on that, but these people are vicious. I mean, if they had all these protests earlier this year, and the country is at the weakest it's ever been because people took to the streets. However, they killed nobody knows how many people. Estimates are as high as 50,000 people. When they'd have a protest, the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they get on the roofs, and whoever is the leader of it, they just kill them. That breaks up a protest pretty quickly. You know, when people start just dropping on the streets from the snipers killing them from the roofs of the building. So they're tough. I mean, they are very, very tough. And you remember when the 12-day war was over, one of the things that really demonstrates who these people are, when that 12-day war was over, the first thing they did was go out in the streets and start gathering up people that they thought were in sympathy and executing them publicly. I mean, this is a brutal, brutal regime. And the people don't, if they had a First Amendment and the Second Amendment like we have, it would be free now. But they don't have weapons, you know. They don't have guns, and the IRGC is fully armed, and the religious zealots are they don't care what they have to do. They have this vision, and they are inspired that what's going to happen is they are going to create a caliphate that covers the entire planet, and everyone will be Shia Muslim, not Sunni Muslim, but Shia Muslim. That practices Sharia law, and they believe that they can get there, and that they're going to get help from above, and that's what's going to happen, and they're willing to die for it.
What you've laid out, because the Iranian Guard, they're still in place, even though we took out the top leadership. the future is still a very, very rough path for the people of Iran, because they will just continue to elevate people into the top levels of the Iranian regime. Is that what you're saying?
Clearly. The only thing that there's a couple things that give you hope. Number one, that country is not a small country. That's a country of 92 million people. And the demographics in that country are that 70% of that 92 million people are 35 years old or younger, and they don't want anything to do with this. You know, they want a very different life than what they've got. So, they at some point in time, you're hopeful that they will get critical mass to be able to overthrow. But they're going to need help from either the IRGC or the regular army. They have two different military organizations in the country. Both of them, of course, at this point are controlled by the radical the radical leaders there.
Yeah.
But they don't get along too well either between the two of them. So you don't know what's going to happen internally, and hope springs eternal in that regard.
I know we're close on our time, Senator, but I would ask one last question here, strategically, logistically, whatever. We've decimated so much of their infrastructure. Why is it so hard for us to at least temporarily commandeer control of the Strait of Hormuz so the oil can continue to ship through that area?
Well, I can't talk about the strategies and the tactics they're going to use, but I can tell you that that thought is not far from everyone's mind. The Strait of Hormuz has to be opened. It will be opened.
Yeah.
How that happens, we'll leave that to the guys on the ground. They know how to do that.
Yeah. All right. U.S. Senator Jim Risch, we appreciate your time, Senator, and look forward to chatting with you again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Always good to talk to you.
All right. It's